This is the Mark Milton Show with The Smash, with former Department of Justice Tax Division trial attorney Mark Milton and The Smash on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six-shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive.
All right, yeehaw, you're listening to The Mark Milton Show with The Smash, broadcasting from the Miller Furniture Studios, presented by STLTaxLawyer.com, Miller Furniture with locations in Belleville, Lake St. Louis, and Ellisville. Smash, how you doing this morning?
Buddy, that song right there should be the theme song for Yellowstone. Do you watch Yellowstone?
I do.
That should be the theme song, because they're doing cattle drives and all that stuff all the time, man.
Yeah, big fan of the show. This season's moving a little slow. We won't give out any spoilers, but it's just kind of a little slow for my liking. But anyway, we want to get right to it. Today we have a very special guest joining us, my good friend Senator Dave Schatz, who is from Franklin County, Missouri. He has entered his, thrown his hat in the ring for the U.S. Senate race in the GOP primary, which is this upcoming August. I want to play a quick clip from his intro video, his announcement video, which I thought was a very well done campaign video. Yeah. Dave, you want to play that clip for us?
These days, too many politicians are fakes and frauds. They switch political parties, they abandon principles, and they'll do and say anything to win an election. I'm Dave Schatz, and I'm running to represent Missouri in the U.S. Senate. I'm a real guy who will always shoot you straight. I think we all can agree Washington, D.C. is broken. Higher taxes, failures at the border, printing and spending trillions of dollars, foreign policy debacles, and the list goes on and on. But here in Missouri, we're able to get things done because we're not afraid of hard work. When you work on problems as opposed to just talking about them, you can actually make things better.
All right, there it is. That's nice. Just a short clip from the full video. You can check out the full video at Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z, for Senate.com. Now we welcome to the Mark Milton Show Senator Dave Schatz, state senator from Franklin County. Senator Schatz, welcome to the Mark Milton Show.
Good morning, Mark.
he's in shock. He's in shock of the production value of this show. Am I wrong?
Yes. We had a little interference coming through, and so I think it's cleared up now. Perfect. I'm here, and you're coming through loud and clear.
Oh, excellent. Well, we appreciate you joining us. I, for one, am very excited that you decided to run for the U.S. Senate. I know there were a lot of candidates already in the race. You were relatively late to jump in. So just explain, you know, kind of why you decided to run, and then what your plans would be as U.S. Senator from Missouri.
You know, Mark, again, you know, it's not an easy decision getting to the point where you make decide to get in the arena.
Sure.
I call it the major leagues of politics. Obviously, I've served for the last 11 years in state politics and the last three of those president of the Missouri Senate. But, you know, getting on the national stage, United States Senate, is a big deal. It's very, very important. But part of the reason why we decided to get in the race is obviously I don't think there's a candidate that I believe will do as good a job as I can to represent Missouri in the United States Senate. And so at the end of the day, I believe that was a decision that I made because I felt like there's not a better option in the field right now than I believe myself to go and represent Missouri and take my business experience, my hard work and determination, and go and fight for Missourians every day and make sure that we're doing the responsible thing for Missouri taxpayers.
Yeah, and you're somebody who has served in the legislature in Missouri. However, I mean, you are a businessman, like you said. You're the owner of Schatz Underground, which is a major company, a major employer in Missouri. So talk a little bit about your business background and how you think that might help you as a U.S. senator.
Well, Mark, I think it's critical. At the end of the day, you look at the number of people that probably have, business background, business experience. I'm not sure that any of the candidates in this race outside of myself have ever been in the position that we have of obviously making payroll every week, signing the front side of checks, running a couple small businesses, and making sure that every day that we can provide for the 100-plus families of people that we employ. And dealing with all of the things that come along with that and the legal environment, all the things we have to take care of as small business owners and the regulations that ultimately legislatures and lawmakers put on businesses someone that's actually understands it, because what they felt the impact of that. And I think that's why it's important for me to go with that experience and take that to D.C., just like I've utilized that in my time in Jefferson City and in my opportunity to serve there. So, and that's why we think we're the right choice, because it's a different environment. You know, I believe we've got enough legal folks, enough attorneys currently in Washington, D.C. We just need real business people that are actually out here in the trenches every day, you know, getting it done.
No, no offense taking it with your shot at attorneys. I don't really like attorneys either. I don't really like attorneys either, so that's all right. That's all right. I don't mind that. Smash has got a question for you.
Well, I did have a question, and I always thought, even as a youth to now, that government is a business. People don't get it, that government is a business. A country is a business. Is a business, is it not, Senator?
Well, yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, obviously you have budgets, but I don't think, unfortunately, Washington, D.C. doesn't run like a business because they don't know how to do a budget. But I can tell you from my experience in Jefferson City, we could take a few things to Washington, D.C. they could learn from. That's obviously, we balance the budget. We don't spend more than we take in. Yeah. We've lived within our means, and for the last 11 years in my time in legislature, we've always done that. We've always put forth a balanced budget. Our Constitution requires us to do that, and I believe that Washington, D.C. needs to learn a little bit from Missouri in how to live within their means.
Yeah, and Senator, that's one of the things that worries me the most about what's happened during the pandemic is, you know, I'm 36 years old. I've got young kids. You know, we were already approaching $30 trillion in debt, and, I mean, this is something that happened under the last administration, too, in terms of the printing of the money and spending, increase in deficit, the national debt going, you know, continuing to rise. I mean, at what point, you know, does that become a problem if it's not already, you know, and what could you do as a U.S. senator to alleviate those concerns?
Well, it's a problem, Mark. It's been a problem for some time, but it appears that people have just ignored it. And in the same way that I believe that people are just willing to kick the can down the road and wait for somebody else to go solve it. That's never been my approach. And as a small business guy, when I have a problem comes to my desk, I can't just pass it on to somebody else or pass it on down to the next election cycle or the next generation to be able to fix it. I got to fix the problem. I got to address it right then and there. And I think that somebody's going to have to go to Washington, D.C. and say the madness has to stop. I'm going to do that. If I'm elected and I go there, I'm going to do that and say, guys, we've got to come to realization at some point in time. My grandchildren, the debt that we've passed on to them, the burden we're putting on to our grandchildren and children, is unrealistic, and something's got to change. And the way it changes is somebody's got to step and say, enough's enough, and we're going to stop this spending, and we're going to stop living outside our means. And I've got the courage and the ability to do that.
Senator, let me ask you, you in your campaign ad there talked about the border crisis. You never hear about the border crisis anymore on TV. Is there no more border crisis, or is something being hidden? What's going on, Senator?
Well, obviously, we have a liberal, complacent media that obviously will not report the truth or has no willing or desire to report the truth. But obviously, the travesty that's going on our United States border right now, if we are going to be a sovereign nation, we've got to have secure borders. We've got to know who's coming into this country. But obviously, the people that are pouring through the southern border, we believe there should be a path for legal, citizens to come to the United States, or legal immigration to come to the United States. But just letting people walk across the border from whatever country, from wherever they've gone, the drugs and the things that are funneling across the border because we haven't protected them, is a dereliction of the duty of this administration to allow this to continue. And people, I mean, and I hope they send a message in 2022, and the politicians in Washington, D.C. are going to pay a strong price, because I believe every average American citizen believes that we should have a protection at the southern border and all of our borders to make sure that we know who's coming to the United States, that obviously they're coming here for the right reason.
Absolutely. And another issue that's really concerning to me, and I can't really put my finger on what's causing it or how it's going to play out, but this labor, it's a labor crisis. I mean, you've got the unemployment rate spiking, yet there seems to be a shortage of, you know,
people
to do jobs, to actually work. And as a business owner yourself, I mean, what have you seen, you know, as far as the labor market, and is there anything that can be done, you know, as a U.S. senator to address this issue? Because I know I personally, I mean, I've searched for people to fill certain roles. I know a lot of other small businesses, restaurants, I mean, you name it, everyone is struggling to find workers. So what's going on, and you know, from your perspective, and then what can be done to address it?
Well, I mean, it's true, Mark. You can talk to any small business person, and I've spoken to a lot of them. across the state. Everyone faces the same challenges that I face and that you face, and that's finding a qualified and willing workforce. Finding someone that can come in, that will come in 5 days a week and pass a drug test and show up and go to work is a challenge. Missouri right now, I think that we have about 3.7% unemployment, but there's people that have left the workforce. And part of the reason they've left the workforce, Mark, is the fact that the federal government has continued to pour resources into their pockets through whatever program that they can access that ultimately, leads them to an opportunity where they don't have to work.
Right.
And that's one thing that's got to stop. You know, it's not, it isn't wrong for us to help people out when they need a helping hand, but this should not become a lifestyle. And somebody's going to have to stand up and recognize that and say, willing people that are able, can work, need to work. And that's just plain and simple. And stop subsidizing these people to stay home and not work. And that's just one of the things that's going to have to occur.
So, Senator, let's go to the COVID side, man. I find it really remarkable that for the year that Trump had the COVID, let's just call it that, during his administration, he was an evil dude. COVID was evil, and it was all because of him. And now the same amount of people have died in this
more
year.
More people.
No
Hunter
kidding.
Biden, yeah.
I thought it was 400,000,
well,
400,000.
It's close.
Anyway. The same amount, if not more, have died under the Biden administration, but you don't hear it in that way. It's not an evil thing. It's a sad thing. It's kind of like this. What can any politician or anybody do about a skewed press?
You know, journalism, as far as we know it, has been dead for a long time. Obviously, we have a liberal complacent media,
right,
that obviously the narrative is going to continue to embrace this socialistic idea that the Democrats have an agenda that they've been moving forward. Again, we're going to have alternatives, to the media outlets that are out there, to where people can actually get true, fair, and balanced news and understanding of what's going on. Social media is the same way. We have problems with social media and how it portrays your own sense of reality. You know, and it's what's real to you or what's true to you. And so, where does a person actually go to get truth and reporting? And there are very few outlets, but again, most people are just too unwilling to actually seek those outlets out and really search and find out what is really true and not true. And so the liberal media has made it extremely easy for them to just fall into complacency.
Right.
Well, and that ties into just how divided we are as a country. And one of the things I like about you is, I mean, you're as conservative as they come, but I feel like you're also a likable guy, approachable. You're willing to work with both sides. So what can you tell the listeners about, your ability, your willingness to work with people on the other side of the aisle, but also just to represent everyone? Because I think we need more leaders that are able to unite us. And so what can you say about that aspect?
Well, you're right, Mark. I think the reality is that what we see in Washington, D.C., we've seen, hyper-partisanship, and people don't have the types of relationships that's necessary in order for them to forge ahead with the things that are good for the American public. And I think that that's a shame. And I think that what needs to change is that we need to spend more time working for the good of the American people. And again, we're seeing, at no time. And again, I think social media has played a part into the nastiness that has occurred and the perception. I can tell you from my experience in Washington, D.C., while I have colleagues that we vehemently disagree with, but we can sit at a table, we could go out and have dinner, and we can try to work out our differences and find a way and try to find a common solution that works. Sometimes there has to be a little give and take on both sides. But, the fact that we will just come to complete and total gridlock and can't find a way forward ultimately does not serve the American public very well. And I think that's something that's going to have to change. I think we need to stand, though, for our principles. Obviously, we don't want to compromise them. But at the end of the day, there are things that we could get accomplished for the American public if we would just work together and find ways to get common solutions.
Yeah, and I think what's upsetting to me, too, is, the hyper-partisanship. I mean, it works in both ways. I mean, you're in the middle of a primary, right? So you're getting attacked from people on the right, and it's like, there's this, need to sort of run to the extremes. And I think that's also hurting our country, is that you've got the primary system that sort of breeds this, crazy mentality of, oh, this person, you have to go to the far extremes in order to succeed. And I see a lane for you. I mean, since we have eight people in this race, you're the voice of reason. I see you as somebody that's like, yeah, I'm conservative, but I'm you know, I'll give it to you straight. And so talk about that, what you've seen on the campaign trail early on and how you've been able to handle it.
Well, yeah, again, you're right, Mark. I think that in reality, you know, we've got to find, you know, we have people that are so far to the left, so far to the right. You ultimately at some point in time have to govern, and you can't do it from either extreme position. You can see some of the policies that the left is proposing. Obviously, they're untenable, but also there are policies at times that when people are so far from the right that are not going to be something that you're ever going to get a consensus to be able to move forward on. So you've got to find a path forward. And I believe that I've forged those paths in my time in the legislature. And again, willing to work with individuals. Again, I'm as conservative and believe in pro-life and pro-Second Amendment as any other person in this race. And we'll stand up for those strong principles, but also realize that when it comes to finding solutions to some of the tough problems we face in our United States, that we've got to be able to find some common ground. And sometimes people are unwilling to go to that extreme because it might alienate or offend someone that is so far to the right or so far to the left. That they won't even entertain the idea of doing that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And let's talk about something a little more lighthearted. What do you enjoy doing for fun? Smash was going to ask that. He's mad at me because he was going to ask. No. Well, what do you want people to know about you? Just, you know, Dave Schatz, the regular guy. What do you enjoy doing? You know, when you're not running for running your business or running for public office.
Well, let me tell you, that could be a long list, Mark, and if you give me a couple seconds, I'll get to but the number one priority I think that I want people to know about me is I've been married to my lovely wife for going to be on 34 years. I was blessed to have 5 children, and I've got 8 wonderful grandchildren. There's nothing more that I enjoy more than spending time with my family. Nice. And my grandchildren and future grandchildren. And then that's kind of the first priority in my life, and making sure, and part of the reason why I'm running is because I'm concerned about the future for those 8 grandkids and the children that I have and what kind of world they're going to grow up in. But Mark, as you probably know, I love golf. Mm-hmm. I'm an avid golfer. I'm not a bad golfer. I'm not a great golfer, but I love to golf, and every chance, I like to golf, but I also love to hunt and fish, love the outdoors, spending time, out to hunting, fishing. If it's in season, I want to be chasing it, and if it can be caught, I want to catch it. So
that's awesome. Do you see the great Jay Randolph Jr. around Sullivan these days? You know, he's working down at the Sullivan Country Club.
Yes, yeah. I do.
He's great.
Jay probably knows that I'm passionate about golf as well, and then we appreciate his. Him running our club down there.
Yeah, it's a great club. I've been there a few times. I've got to see your golf swing. It could use a little work, Senator. I'm not going to lie. Ask him mine. But you probably hit it straight. So I'll give you that. You can hit it straight,
well,
unlike me.
Mark, I can tell you that I am not the picture of a golf swing that anyone would try to emulate. But what I will tell you this is it is effective. And when you learn, it's kind of like when you look back in the day of Fuzzy Zeller or some of those folks, or Lee Trevino, they didn't have the quintessential golf swing like some you see today. But you know what? They were effective. They knew how to operate, and they could repeat it time and time again. And so that's the trick to golf. If you can make a horrible swing and make it every time, then you can be successful at golf.
So, Senator, let me ask you, when it comes to music, are you more on the country side, on the rock and roll side, the pop side? What is your kind of music?
You know, I like, here's the thing. I grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of 80s rock, 70s and 80s rock.
Yeah.
I like rock music, but I love country music, but also love Christian radio.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of music in general. You know, I listen to it all. You know, there's not a music, again, when people have a God-given talent and ability that the musicians and singers, I don't necessarily have any of that. Smash, I know you've been, you've been blessed with that, but I wasn't. So
the answer was the Smash Band, Senator. The correct answer was, who do you like to listen to? It's the Smash Band.
Not at all.
That was the correct answer.
So, Senator.
You should have sent me that text, Mark. You should have sent me that text and said, here's the answer to that.
Make sure. Yeah. Hey, so, Senator, in the 80s, listening to all those bands, did you ever like fluff your hair up and go glam on anybody, or what was that?
Well, I will say this, and I probably hope there's never a picture that would show that this ever occurred. Now, you would probably never believe that at one time I did get a perm and had pretty fluffy hair.
That's great. Fantastic. All right, we got Dave Schatz joining us, U.S. Senate candidate. The primary is in August, running for the GOP nomination. Senator, we really appreciate you joining us here. You can find out more at shotsforsenate.com. Thanks again for being with us.
All right, thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. All right, that was State Senator Dave Schatz, who's running to be the next U.S. Senator.
I like him.
From the great state of Missouri. Solly the Socialist, always like to get his view on our Republican friends. What did you think of Senator Schatz?
I think it was very refreshing that he was able to acknowledge the hyper-partisan nature of today's politicians on both sides. I mean, we'll remain to see, you know, what his actual policies are. You know, you can definitely tell where he stands, but as long as he's willing to back it up, I'd be willing to at least give him a chance and see what happens. Of course, don't know who's going to be running on the Democratic side either, but if there's not a Democratic choice that I would find palatable, I would at least have to consider him.
Well, and that's the thing. You've got, you know, eight legitimate candidates running for the Republican nomination, and so I think Dave has a nice path, kind of that pro-business, you know, more mainstream Republican. You know, he's not going to sell out, not going to, you know, run to the extreme. Not, you know, he is true to who he is. He's not going to change based on the political winds, and I think that's refreshing. And when you're in a field with other people who maybe are more inclined to, you know, adapt and be more chameleon-like, I think he could stand out, and he could get 25% when win the primary.
Yeah.
And in Missouri right now, it's hard to see a Democrat winning a general election.
See, I was thinking that you just mentioned the 25%. I just think with eight candidates, doesn't that water down everything?
Well, all you have to get is you just have to get the most votes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, there are very strong candidates throughout the race, but I mean, all you got to do is get the most votes.
Now, I'm a little sheltered being in my leftist circles, but with you all on the right, do you see that there's enough support for maybe a more moderate, or rather a better word is reasonable, because I don't know if he even portrayed himself as moderate, but compared to some of the guys with bigger name power, such as Eric Schmidt and company, Eric Greitens potentially.
Mm-hmm. The Erics.
No, I think everyone, I think everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses. I mean, but yes, I do think there's room for someone who's not the loudest in the room to, you know, prevail in a race like this, especially when you have, you know, everyone trying to out-Trump each other. He's not, I mean, he's as pro-Trump as they come, but I mean, he's not out there trying to do that. He's being who he is, and I think it could be pretty effective.
See, what Solly just did there was paint a picture of us as rivals,
right?
Because number one, he put me in a conservative. I'm not a conservative. I'm one of these guys who rides the fence and everybody's mad at me because take a side, Smash, all that's kind of crap that they tell you. You, of course, conservative, wonderful young man. Then Solly, in all honesty, we don't know what Solly's leanings are.
Smash is a comedian. He just knows where his bread's buttered, so he sucks up to me and just agrees with everything I say here on the Mark Millett Show. When he goes on with his other friends, he changes course.
Well, Smash, the biggest problem I'm having nowadays is my equilibrium's all off. I don't know where center is anymore.
That's a great point. It's a great
point.
Yeah,
that is
Smash,
a good point.
He's got his nose bleeding over there. We gotta get him a tissue.
Now the big question is: it the left side or the right side?
What is it, Smash? It's the right side. His right side is bleeding. The nose is bleeding.
Man, the nose is bleeding on the right side. I blew my nose earlier, Dave. Or, I mean, Solly, and it just started bleeding. I don't know why. I mean, maybe the air is dry or something like
that. All right. Well, if it's coming from the right, I think that tells us all we need to know.
All right. Well, you're listening to the Mark Millett Show. We appreciate Dave Schatz joining us here on the Mark Millett Show. Always good to talk with him. I want to tell you about Miller Furniture. Miller Furniture is having their 12 days before Christmas celebration. So every day, but leading up to Christmas, they're having sales. You can get up to 50% off any purchase all year long in 2022. They're going to be choosing one special five people at the end of these 12 days that will get that discount. Check them out online, millerfurniture.com, nice. M-U-E-L-L-E-R, furniture.com. Yeah. You got a beautiful showroom in Belleville, Lake St. Louis, and Ellisville now, 1.2 miles east of Clarkson Road. You can, like I said, go in there, check out the showroom. You can do a custom order. They also have one of the largest selections of in-stock American-made furniture ready for immediate delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure to check them out at millerfurniture.com, M-U-E-L-L-E-R, furniture.com. This is the Mark Millett Show with the Smash and Solly. We'll be right back in a second.